that we lost. I would have wrote something different, but God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I know that many of you out there today are tired. You're physically tired. You're just exhausted. Every time you turn around, there's something else going on. Because of that, our lives are a little bit imbalanced. Our sleep and our work, all of that stuff is being off balance, and it's taking a toll on us. Many of us have experienced trials and suffering. Maybe we had a job and then we lost the job. Maybe we lost a friend. Maybe we lost a home, a spouse. Some people, they even lost a child. We know that persecution and betrayal is upon us right now, and we are feeling the effects of it. Some of us are suffering through spiritual depression. We suffer through spiritual depression when we don't have a healthy outlook on what we believe that is going to happen for us. Amen? That's because we don't have a healthy expectation of what God has in store for us. I want to remind you that the Bible never tells us that we won't go through suffering and persecution. But it also reminds us that we'll get through it. Amen? The trials that we face, we're not alone in the trials that we face. Many times the enemy will have us feeling like we're abandoned. You know, when you feel abandoned, it's when you don't join together with the saints. Sometimes we got to call one another. Sometimes we got to pray with one another to understand that we are not in this battle alone. The battle is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you only get in tune with people that your spiritual brothers and sisters, in tune with the Bible, in tune with Christ, once a week on Sundays, you are going to be hit. And it's going to hit you hard because you're not in tune with your brothers and sisters. You're not in tune with what Christ is doing in the lives of other people. Amen? Sometimes we're too busy worrying about the cares of this world. We're too busy worrying about our home, our cars. We're too worried about the money that we invested in the stock market, that we invested in a business, that we invested in a bank. And there's so many other things that we got our minds are so distorted that it's taken away the joy of the Lord from us. Amen? But the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when the joy of the Lord is taken away from you, where is your strength? That's how you can get into spiritual depressions. We would do well to remember a man named Demas. He was a man who was in the inner circle of the Apostle Paul's ministry. So he was right there with this great apostle. But all of a sudden, his mind started to go to the things of this world. And he fell in love with this world. Amen? Sometimes it's us and our lukewarmness. Amen? And that's what I felt this morning. And that's why I asked Mother to pray. I felt lukewarmness in this church this morning. I felt like we didn't come to praise. I thought we were just going through the motions. Let me tell you, you're going through the motions. You might not even think that you're going through the motions. But let me tell you two people who know you're going through the motions. God knows that you are going through the motions because he knows your heart. But there's another person that knows when you're going through the motions. It's the enemy, because he recognizes lukewarmness and he recognizes going through the motions. So when you go through the motions, whatever you thought that you were coming for, you're not going to get because you're not prepared for it. Have you ever taken a test in school and you were lukewarm about the test you didn't study? Did you get a good mark? You probably failed. But in this life, we cannot afford to be lukewarm. Because when we fail, there's no guarantee that we get another chance. And this life, the life that we live, we only get one on this earth. And then it's judgment. So some of us are lukewarm. And the enemy recognizes lukewarmness. And because of the lukewarmness, we go into this spiritual depression. And when we go into a spiritual depression, we're ignorant of the scriptures. Amen? Because we neglect to understand what grace truly means. That we're here by God's grace. And everything that happens is by the grace of God. Nothing happens without the grace of God. You might not expect it or understand it to be the grace of God, but later on in the by and by, you understand it. Had it not been for God's grace, you'll go through some situations. Maybe you're going to buy a house. You don't get that house. Amen? And you say, well, God failed me. No, God's grace, if you understand his grace, he's holding you out for something bigger and something better. But we tend to think that just because we don't get what we want when we want it, that God's grace is not sufficient for us. Amen? We need to sit under the word of God week in, day out. That means on a daily basis, it's part of your routine that you have to include God's grace, God's word in whatever you get ready to do for the day. It should be part of your routine. We have a routine. Everybody in here has got a routine. You had a routine this morning before you came in here. You got a routine when you got up in the morning. You get up, you go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, you do this, you do that. You eat, you drink your coffee, your tea, whatever it is, you got a routine. Include the word of God in your routine. When the word of God is in your routine, then you will begin to understand what the Bible says. So when things start happening, you understand that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Amen? But a lot of people like to leave that last part out. They like to say all things are great. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. But you call to his purposes are. Everybody has a purpose. Maybe somebody that we knew did get COVID. What was the purpose of that? But I know one thing. Mother asks, has anybody in here had COVID? And nobody said, I did. We're a blessed church. So when we come in here, we need to act like we're blessed. We need to know that we're blessed because people are out there looking and they're questioning, how come not you? But there, by the grace of God, go you, go I. Amen? Even when we have difficult times, when we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes, we realize as we go through things, those difficult moments are probably leading us to moments of glory. Amen? Nobody is a hero unless they've gone through something. Nobody can have a testimony without a test. Amen? So when you go through trials and you go through tribulations, you have to understand that God is doing something for his glory. And he's using you as a tool to show other people. He's using you as a testimony to show other people, to be able to tell other people. One of the biggest testimonies I can say I got yesterday, because I heard Brother Tommy call me and tell me that he was home. And I say that because, and I keep referring to it because, if you don't know, I'm going to say it again and I'm going to keep saying it. The doctors called the family in not once, but a couple of times at least. when the doctors call the family, if you're in the hospital, hospice or whatever, and the doctor calls the family in, you're not expecting good news. You're expecting tragic news, the worst news. They called the family in not once, but twice. I seen the man with tubes all in his body, in his neck. But he called me yesterday and said, Pastor, I am home. We hear stories, but I say to each one of you that no time you witness a miracle. We still have a God of miracles. Amen? Difficult times are loaded with moments of glory. Amen? Moments when God is getting ready to birth something into the lives of those who labor through the pains of whatever it is that we have to go through. He uses that word labor because labor is not easy. Those of us, not us, I'm not going to include me, but those of you that are mothers know that labor is not easy. Labor is almost close to death. So he says those of us who labor through the pain, we're going to see moments where God is going to birth something great inside of us, birth something new inside of us. Amen. One way of avoiding darkness of your soul, because when we can't praise the Lord, our soul is dark. Something's clouding the future of our soul. Something is covering so we don't see the light of God in our lives. One way that we can avoid this darkness is being in constant communication and thanksgiving and in communion and continuance in the acknowledgement of God's presence. So today, I pray that this sermon today will bring to light life to you when it seems that God ain't there and that God is not making a difference in your life. Make a difference to you that when you feel like you don't feel like, you ever feel like you don't feel like? Not that you just don't feel like, but you feel like you don't feel like. You feel like you don't feel like praising the Lord. When you feel like you got nothing to look forward to. When you feel like ain't nothing else to do. I pray that this sermon makes a difference, that you understand that in moments like that, it is at that time that God steps in. It makes a difference in your life. Amen? Can we give the Lord a hand one more time? So the scripture reading this morning will come from Acts, the 16th chapter, verse 22 to 26. And it says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates offered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You see, Paul and Silas was on a mission to bring the gospel to Europe. They were in a Roman colony called Philippi. They had had some initial success there, and they went back for another journey. Now, their trouble came when Paul and Silas was doing their job being missionaries, but there was a girl, a woman named Lydia, and they cast the demon out of her. Now, the thing about this woman is that, quote unquote, she had this gift, a spiritual gift. She was foretelling things, and But she was demon-possessed. So she had a group of men who were making money off of her predicting things. Amen? But she was possessed of a demon. So I want to let you know, just because somebody says something that comes true, it don't mean that it is of God. Come on, somebody. You need to get this. Just because somebody will foretell or say something that does become true, it does not mean that it is of God. But when this woman, when she saw Paul and Silas, she started following behind them and saying, "These are the men that will that are of God." Now, one thing God doesn't need, he don't need a PR person. He don't need a PR person. Paul and Silas didn't need a PR person. They came to give the message of the gospel and salvation. Paul and Silas became weary of this woman, demon-possessed, following behind them. So they prayed, and the demon came out of the woman. Once the demon came out of the woman, she could no longer predict the future. She could no longer tell people what was going to happen. And the bosses that were behind her, the people that were using her, lost their money. Now, anytime you want to get somebody upset, have them start losing money over you. That's when you're going to get fired. That's when people are going to leave you alone. But they decided they were going to get rid of Paul and Silas. So the scripture says that they brought them to the magistrate and explained to them that these Jews were telling Roman people of Roman citizenship things that they should not be hearing. So let me just stop for a second, because you see, Paul was not a Jew. Paul was a Roman citizen. And a Roman citizen must be taken to trial and brought before the judge, and it has to be, his side has to be heard. But these magistrates, they jump to justice. Amen? So I'm going to say right now, I want to stop for a second, say, children of the Lord, sometimes you're going to go through things and you're going to be accused of something, and they're not going to hear what you're going to have to say. You're going to be brought to immediate judgment without hearing your words, without hearing your side of the story. Amen? But anyway, the magistrates ordered them to be beaten with stripes and thrown in jail. Now, they didn't just put them in jail. They didn't just open the front door and say, "Here, you're in jail," but they put them in the inner jail. You know, there's a jail and then there's an inner jail. There's a cell and there's an inner cell. So they put them way inside of the jail, in the inner cell in the jail. Amen? The jailer followed his orders. The hands and the feet were put in bonds. No more shackles. No more chains. But they were in the shackles, and they were in the chains. I want to ask you this morning, how discouraging is it to you when you try to do the Lord's will and people put chains and shackles on you? People want to shut you up and don't want to hear what it is that you have to say. How discouraging is it for you? Can you imagine how discouraging it had to be for Paul and Silas? They were away from home. They were on a mission of love. They wanted to bring the gospel and salvation to people. In their compassion, along the way, doing what God had wanted them to do. They saw a woman possessed, and they prayed the demon out of them. How many times have you, along the way, wanted to help somebody, and on the way you're helping them, and then something befalls you? And sometimes you say to yourself, "Oh, I wish I hadn't done it." I know that has happened to me. I'll tell you a story. One time, years ago, I was walking across 14th Street and 3rd Avenue in the city, a bright, sunny Friday morning. You know, it was Friday. I was going to get paid. It was a good day. I was feeling great. And I'm standing at the corner, and this woman in a wheelchair was trying to get across 3rd Avenue. So in my compassion, I said, I'm going to help her across the street in the wheelchair. So I took the wheelchair, and I says, I'll help you across the street. And I'm pushing her across the street. She said something to me, and I didn't hear it. And then she said something to me again. I said, excuse me, I didn't hear. And as we got close to the curve, I said, what did you say? She said, scram. I said, what? She said, scram. I said, oh, my God. Now, I wasn't saved at the time, so, but anyway, all the compassion that I had left, here I was trying to help the person across the street, and she's telling, when we get there, she's telling me to scram. All my compassion had left. Have you ever done something for somebody, and out of your compassion, you did it, and then all of a sudden, they turned on you? How did it make you feel? Well, here's Paul and Silas. Out of compassion for Lydia, they prayed, demon gone. They're put in prison. They go before the judges, and they have these trumped up charges against them. Amen? Charges that just don't make no sense. Amen? They're black. Their backs are beaten with blood. They're in pain from the beatings. And then they're in the darkness of this cell. They're in the darkness of this prison. Fastened together. Fastened in chains. All because they were seeking to obey the will of God. Every time you do the will of God, it ain't always going to be pleasant. Let me say that. It ain't always going to be pleasant. The jailer was just doing his job. Have you ever went somewhere and you needed something and somebody could just do this for you, but they were so cold? Maybe you just, you know, there's a line and you just want to ask a question and somebody will say, no, you got to get in line like everybody else. That you're not there to buy the ticket. You're not there to get the PS5 or whatever it is. You just want to ask a question. And they just say, get online, because they're just doing their job. They're not thinking about anything. All they know is this is their assignment. They're going to do it, period, amen. The jailer was period, amen. He did what he was told. No compassion whatsoever. Paul and Silas was probably in a lot of pain, just like so many of us. Paul and Silas, they probably couldn't sleep, just like so many of us. Paul and Silas found themselves in a very uncomfortable position, just like so many of us. But if that was you, what would you do? You've been in these situations before. What would you do? What was you thinking? How would you react? But the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises unto God. This does not mean that they waited until midnight, but it just specifies that at that particular point in time. Why midnight? Because midnight is the darkest point of the night. It is the highlight of the night. At midnight, the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Praying means that they had been doing it. It is an action word. It didn't say they began to pray. They were praying and singing praises unto God. from out of the darkness on the inner prison, the other prisoners heard the voices, and they were singing as well. Let me say this. Even though they were in darkness, the Bible tells me in John 1 and 5, you know that we know John. John 1 begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But go down to the fifth chapter, to the fifth verse. It says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. Don't you know that when Paul and Silas was in the prison, the light was shining in them. So the light was shining in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome them. There are times in your life that the light has to shine. That little light of yours that you sing about, this little light of mine, it's got to shine in the darkness so darkness does not overcome it. In those moments of darkness, that is where the light of Christ in us gives us life. Because when we're in darkness, we associate darkness with death and dying. But light is life. Christ is life. Paul wrote to the Romans that we were more than conquerors through Christ who loves us, through Christ who strengthened us. Amen? And this was an example where these people were conquerors in the darkest experience of their life, singing praises after they had been delivered, as they were being delivered, when they were being delivered. How many of us want to be conquerors? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be more than a conqueror. We sing we are conqueror when we go through things. But I want to be more than a conqueror. Because more than a conqueror understands that in the midst of darkness, I am going to sing. I am going to praise the Lord anyway. I don't see it yet, but I'm going to sing it. I don't need to sing it after. I need to sing it during. I need to sing it before. That's when you are more than a conqueror. Paul and Silas were more than a conqueror because they were singing praises. They didn't know that the prison cells was going to open. They didn't know that an earthquake was going to happen. David reminds us that we should praise God through the good times and the bad. That praise should fill our hearts and our lips every day, no matter what circumstance. Especially when we're walking through those seasons of trials and tribulations. Amen? Praise God in the storms. Praise Him through the battles. When life get hard, praise the Lord. Make it your choice to fill your heart with words of praise and thanksgiving. Once you keep doing it, then when you get into something, then it's automatically it'll come out. It'll be second nature. So many times we don't do it all the time. That when something does happen, we don't know what to say. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to thank God. We don't know how to recognize that God is still in the midst. Listen to God's intervention. It says, suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prisons were shaken. There can be earthquakes and things will shake. Things will rattle and things will roll. But it says all of the doors were open. That had to be God. He shook it just so the doors are open. It didn't say anybody lost their lives because rocks and stones start coming down on them. It says the prison doors were open. There was a purpose for that earthquake that God sent. Listen, God does things the way that He wants to do them. We're reminded that Peter was in prison. And when Peter was in prison, God sent the angel to get down and get him and take him out. God didn't send an angel this time. He just shook the foundation. God is going to deliver you out of circumstances, and you might wait for God to deliver me like he delivered somebody else. You're waiting for him to deliver you like he delivered me, but God is going to come. But he might not have the same type of deliverance for you as he has for me. Don't be waiting for an angel when the earthquake is coming. Just wait on the Lord. Open up your eyes and your ears and your spirit to receive whatever it is that he's going to send your way. And you got to be in the spirit to know that God is sending it to you. God, I might not have nowhere to live, and God will put me in a house. Don't be waiting for a house when he got an apartment for you. How God works and how he delivers and how he rescues you is different from each and every one of us. Amen? That earthquake accomplished what God wanted to do. That loosened bonds. It opened doors. God wants to loosen some bonds. There's some earthquakes. I believe that things that are going on right now are earthquakes in our lives. He's loosening bonds. He's shaking chains. I wouldn't have wrote 2020 this way. But God has a purpose for what it is he's doing. Whatever happened in the beginning, right here at the end, we are still here. We still got purpose. We still got things to do. God was shaking and awakening us out of the lukewarmness that we have been going through. ...2020 would have been just like any other year had it not been for God doing some things. God wants to do a new thing. We got to be ready for it. Hallelujah. The Bible goes on and says that the jailer woke up and the prison doors opened and he drew his sword and about to kill himself. It's just like 2020. Some of us, some people out there, I'm not going to say us, I'm not going to talk about us, but I'm going to say to some people out there, things ain't going the way that they thought that they were going 2020. They lost their money, they lost their house, they lost their jobs. They're ready to kill themselves. But we should be just like Paul and say, wait and hold on, because God is still on the throne. God can turn things around. Don't worry about what you lost. God is going to give you more than what the locust has stolen from you. When you know the Lord and you're not worried about his goodness and his grace, then you just look forward to what God is going to do for you, what he's going to do in your life. You don't worry about how he's going to do it. You say, Lord, but I know you're going to do it. That's having confidence in our God. That's knowing that he loves you more than anything, that he gave his only begotten son. Come on, somebody. The jailer was ready to kill himself because in those days that the prisoners left, you served the sentence. Amen? But let me tell you something else that happened that we have to be cognizant of. That you see, Paul and Silas, they were praying. But the prison doors didn't just open for them. It opened for everybody. So when you start praying, when you start praising, everybody in your household, there's chains that's going to be falling. There's doors that's going to be open. There's going to be some outreach that's going to happen. There's going to be some jobs that are going to come back. There's going to be some illnesses that are going to be some healing going on. There's going to be some finances coming back to you. When you were once homeless, you're going to have the home. The doors open for everybody. Pray for your sons and your daughters. Pray over your family. The doors are going to open for everybody. What he did for Paul and Silas, he did for everybody. When you pray, you're not praying just for yourself. You're not just praying for what you want, but you're praying for everybody. Don't just pray for my son, pray for yours. Don't just pray for me. Pray for my family. As I go, they go. As you go, they go. Don't pray for Minister Walker. Pray for her and her family. This is not a one-shot deal. It says all of the prison doors. All of the prison doors was open. It didn't just say that Paul and Silas had a reason, had the opportunity to leave. All had an opportunity to leave. Just like this gospel, Jesus Christ didn't just die for you. He died for me and for you. He died for those people you can't stand too. But what you do, you do in love. Do it in love. Jesus never asked you to like anybody. But he commanded you to love them. Oh, hallelujah. They told him, don't kill yourself, but believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved. Hallelujah. When you pray for me, pray that me and my household will be saved. When you pray for Deacon Ireland, don't just pray for him. Pray that him and his household will be saved. Oh, hallelujah. The key verse in all of this is verse 31, because that verse says that all that was needed is justification for faith in Jesus. All you need to do is for you to believe. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas was in prison. They knew they wasn't going to stay there long. How they was going to get out, they didn't know. But they sung songs. They prayed, knowing that God is on the way. You don't need to perform no works. Just believe and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. When you come in church, just believe and worship the Lord. Leave your unbelief out there. Come in here to worship. Come in here to praise. Because your praise might affect somebody else that came here with something on their mind. Paul and Silas were singing, and everybody else started singing, tapping their feet just a little bit longer, a little bit harder. You keep singing the words, all of a sudden the words will get in your spirit. You start singing even though you don't know what you're singing about. We don't have to do nothing. All we got to do is believe and worship. So here's the key. If you don't get nothing else out of this message, this is the key. You got to worship God in wartime. Every day of your life, it's wartime. Every trial and tribulation that you go through, it's wartime. When you're in wartime, worship God in wartime. You don't have to perform nothing but worship Him. Pray and sing and worship in wartime. If you want power, worship the Lord in wartime. Let us worship with all your heart, all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Worship in wartime. God is still on the throne. God is still empowering his people. God is still making a way when there seems to be no way. Worship in wartime. No matter how dark it is, worship in wartime. Let your light so shine that darkness cannot overcome it. Worship in wartime. Sing out your heart. In the night, we got to be songbirds. Everybody could be sleeping in the house. Sing your song of Zion. Whatever's on your mind, sing your song of Zion. Worship in war times. Many times we so focused on the problem, but we got to focus on God, knowing that he can work things out for us. He can see us through. Break those chains. Open those doors. Worship in war time, knowing that God is on the scene. We're in the middle of a storm. Everything crashing all around us. Chaos seems to be creeping in. God doesn't want to bail you out. You want God to bail you out? He don't want to bail you out. He want to deliver you. He want to deliver you. You want him to pull you out of it. He says, no, I want to see you through there, son. I want to see you through there, daughter. I want to take you through the Nile. I want to bring you out of your Egypt. I want to take you out of the desert. I want you to go around this mountain until I say it's time to get to the promised land. He want to deliver you. Oh, hallelujah. Just when all hell seems to be breaking loose, that's time to worship him because it's wartime. Oh, hallelujah. When you're worshiping God in wartime, that's when God breaks in. Oh, hallelujah. When you worship him in wartime, when you worship him in darkness, when you worship him, that's when he breaks in. You know why? Because in all of the things that are going on, he sees that light shining, that little light inside of your heart, that spirit light that he gave you. Oh, there's my child right there. What is all this darkness trying to surround them? God will see you through. God is going to break in. They were just preaching, doing what they were supposed to do. They wasn't breaking any laws. But you know what? The enemy, he felt some shaking. He felt some bacon. He felt some disturbance going on in a person that he had possessed. The devil will not allow you to take something from him easily. Come on, somebody. Your sons, your daughters, your sisters, your brothers, your husbands, your wife, they're in the midst of a demonic something going on. Satan is not going to give up easily. There's some shaking going on, and he recognizes. But you call on God. You call on God. You worship in that wartime. You worship in prayer. You worship in song. Them strongholds will come tumbling down. You can't pay for it. You can't do nothing but worship. Hallelujah. Call on the name of Jesus. Woo! Call on the name of Jesus. When Satan start delivering your people, don't you know the devil's going to get angry? Don't you know he's going to start throwing everything he can at you? That's why you got to worship. Worship before. Worship doing. Worship after. Just keep worshiping. Oh, hallelujah. Worship in wartime. Woo. It's wartime. Not just because of COVID. We were born in wartime. Hallelujah. You were born in wartime. From the moment you were born in sin. It was wartime. Hallelujah. And the only way to get out of sin is to repent. Hallelujah. Let Jesus know that you acknowledge him as your Lord and your Savior. Hallelujah. And it ain't going to be all right because that's when the fight going to really begin. But you in wartime anyway. And if you don't think that you're in wartime, then that means you a prisoner already. That your mind is already in the prison of sin. That your mind is already captivated by the enemy already. He don't have to fight you. He don't have to put up any arms against you. As a matter of fact, he make it real easy for you to stay right where you at. But any times you get disgusted with where you at, it takes some movement. It takes a changing of your mind. It takes some effort. You got to change things. It can't always be the same. And then you have to fight yourself. You know that? War times begin with fighting your flesh. Fighting against everything that is so good and familiar to you. So warm and fuzzy to you. I had to fight the warm and fuzzy things in my life. Because it felt good. I'm not going to lie to you. Warm and fuzzy feels good. But you got to fight. You got to fight because this is a war. This is a war between good and evil, God and Satan. And they're in the fight of their life for you. And I say the fight of their life because Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, came down as man incarnate, died on the cross, gave up his life for me and for you. Had he not done that? Had he not done that? Had he not done that? What would the devil be doing with you right now? Had he not done that, there would be no hope. Had he not done that, there would be no salvation. Had he not done that, somebody had to give up something. He had to give up his life for me and you. You got to give up something. That's the problem. We don't want to give up nothing. We want to be doing the same old. But if God gave up something, we got to give up something. You want peace in your life? You got to give it up. I don't know what it is, but you got to give it up. This wartime. It don't matter what the situation is. God has the solution. It don't matter the hurt. God can heal. It don't matter the desperation that you feel and that you're going through. God has the deliverance. It don't matter the sin. God has the solution. It don't matter the hell. God has the help. All he's doing is he's waiting for you to say yes. When you say yes, you allow him to break in. External circumstances, once you have them in, they can't destroy your peace. Once you say yes to him, they can't destroy your joy. The enemy wants to destroy your peace. The enemy wants to take away your joy. The enemy wants to destroy your body. He wants to destroy your mind. The enemy wants to bind up your spirit. Oh, hallelujah. You don't know why you do the things that you do? That's because your spirit is bound up in sin. And the enemy has you bound up. And God can loose you. The Bible tells me that he came to set the captives free. We're captives to sin. He came to set you free. You might have endured much, but God can give you the peace to endure that and even more, but in another way. Nothing can give you peace like the peace of God. They say the peace of God passes all. When you're going through that singing and that praising in wartime, those other people around you, they don't understand how you're doing it. How can they be so quiet? How can they look like they have all of this peace? How can they look like they're all comforted? How come they're not screaming and shouting? How come they're not fussing and cussing? Because the peace of God passes. A little bit, 50%, it passes all understanding. And it's the understanding of man. Because when we have the peace of God, we understand that his ways and how he does things are far beyond what we could ever think or whatever we can imagine. So we leave it alone because we know we serve a great God. And we know our limitations. And he says, that his grace is sufficient. No matter what, his grace is sufficient. But I don't have the $1 million. My grace is sufficient. But my knee hurts and I can't. But my grace is sufficient. I don't know why my mother has cancer, but my grace is sufficient. I don't know why I ain't get married yet, but my grace is sufficient. I don't know why I don't have that home yet, but my grace is sufficient. I don't have that promotion and that job that await, but my grace is sufficient. God's grace surpasses. When you accept God's grace, that's when you have peace. Come on, somebody. Then you understand that he gave you enough that you need, that you can handle right now. Sometimes, as you become more and more familiar with God's grace, and having faith in him, he steps you up another level. Come on, somebody. You know that supervisory job that you were dying for, that you just couldn't live without, that you were sitting up there already imagining what you were going to do with that money, with that raise, and you didn't get it. And you asking God, that was for me. He said, no, it wasn't, because in 6 months, that job is no longer there. My grace is sufficient. Let us stand this morning.